Our first guide is the architect Mariam Eskandari. She's the founder of her own design firm, and she specializes in building mosques in America. Charles Monroe Kane asked her if there are rules, and she said, just one. There has to be a mihrab, the spot that points the direction to Mecca.
Oftentimes you'll see that it's just a carving, but then the interesting thing is that around the carving, you know, some mosques might have the calligraphy, the Quranic calligraphy. Other times, it might just be the very first verses of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Hamd, which is the opening. And just as a reminder that, you know, God is, you know, beneficent, the most merciful. But it's funny because you will see that more and more architects, especially in our generation, are reverting back to what the Prophet's mosque was, which it didn't necessarily have a niche. It just indicated the direction towards Mecca. And a lot of times the indication is very simple. It might just be a pure solid wall with the light, a natural lighting that might come from outside, reminding us that the light is one of the essence of, you know, God, the divine.
Does the Prophet Muhammad talk about mosques at all, or the rules around mosques?
The Prophet Muhammad would reference it, and by his examples, he basically was hoping that mosques would continue to be like his home.
But he has this wonderful hadith that I really liked, which is, the earth is the mosque.
Right. And essentially that means that the architecture that you built or the buildings that you built, even for the most holiest of spaces, which is supposed to be a mosque, should not be, it should basically be in tune with nature. It shouldn't cause or harm or damage the earth. So one of the things, for example, that we very much emphasize in our studio at Meme Designs is that, look, when you come to create a space for prayer, one, it needs to be in tune with nature. So meaning that, let's look at rainwater harvesting. You know, when Muslims come to pray, they have to go through a series of, you know, cleansing, which is ablution. What happens to that water? Can that water be given back to the earth? Meaning, can we create a community garden? And that community garden can feed the community itself.
You know, it's curious you're talking about this, and I've been a world traveler. And I'm thinking, okay, what mosques have I been in? What mosques have I seen? And I'm like, the Taj Mahal, the Blue Mosque. And I'm like, those things are gaudy, over the top, yet the dome, the minaret, the inlays of calligraphy, that's the gold. That's what the Western, most Western people who aren't Muslims think of mosques. They don't think of capturing rainwater for the community. What do you do with that misconception?
So the vocabulary of architecture at that time was actually from the Byzantine architecture. So you have domes and you have minarets. When the Muslim world was expanding and, you know, and going and, you know, making its way to South Asia or to North Africa and into Spain, it wasn't going to take the architect with itself. So unfortunately, there wasn't one architect who was like, hey, guys, this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
So instead, what happened was that they, as, you know, the Muslim world was expanding, they were also bringing on other architects and builders and designers. And that group of people only knew how to build and design one thing, and that was Byzantine architecture or churches. And so you see that this certain architectural languages started implementing into, you know, the Muslim world. So you have the dome, you have the minaret.
Well, wait. So the dome, you're saying, comes from Byzantine Christianity, but I don't, does the minaret come from Byzantine? Where's the minaret come from?
No, minaret, the word minaret comes from the Arabic word minar, which means the light. And that comes from Zoroastrian religion. And so the Zoroastrians would actually have a temple that they would go and they would set the light in that, near the fire, and then, and they would do their worship. Very much the word minaret also means lighthouse. We have lighthouses all across up and down our coasts in the United States. So it's very much, and you look at it and you're like, wow, it could also be a minaret.
I wouldn't tell a lot of people that in America.
That's very true. Yeah. Actually, it's one of my favorite things to do as I'm traveling across, you know, the world or even the United States is I kind of go up and down streets and I'm like, oh, look at that mosque. Look at that. Like, you know, there's a minaret. Look at that. And I call them out, actually.
Well, would you say I have a bunch of money. I want to be the patron of a mosque in my town. Would you try to take some of the cultural things, minarets and domes, which certainly are associated with Muslims? Would you try to incorporate that with the more environmentally friendly aspects of what you're talking about, the earth that Muhammad talked about? Or would you just be like, no, we're going to do something completely different. We're not going to go for those cultural icons. How would you do it?
So one of the things that we did back in 2010 was go across the United States. And I personally have prayed in 330 American mosques. And I documented 330 of them. And so to put things in perspective, there's about 2005 American mosques. And to put that even into more perspective, there's over 2016 or 2017 churches in Houston. Okay, so like it's not really, you know, so many mosques, I guess you can say. So each community will vary and each architectural design will vary. So architecture is architecture. Design is design. Mm-hmm. Each project is unique to its own sense because of the users and the criterias that come with it. Architecture in itself is very spiritual. And I always like to reference back to one of my great teachers, which is, you know, Louis Kahn. And he says, there's no such thing as architecture, but only the spirit of architecture. So we take that and we go forward with every project.
For me, I'm from a Christian culture. And I grew up as a Christian, and I traveled a lot, and I've been in a lot of churches. And mm-hmm. I've had a very similar experience when I was a Christian in most of those churches, from Baptist to evangelical to whatever, Catholic. Mm-hmm. They're transformative, if you want them to be. If you let them be, they can be transformative.
Exactly.
Do you feel like mosques themselves should be doing that? That there should be an experience where the person coming in, singular, comes in and has a transformative experience?
I hope that from 2002 and onwards, that the mosques that are built in the United States do that, that they do actually incorporate a way, you know, the pureness, the solidness, the way that you, when you walk in and you kind of start thinking about your intrinsic self and through the natural elements that they're there. Unfortunately, before 2002, dating back to 1970s, and even prior to that, even the 1950s, a lot of mosques in the United States did not and do not do that. And the problem with that is that they're copy and paste, literally, you know, copy and paste of another mosque that is somewhere in Muslim societies. Hmm. And that's, unfortunately, that's what we're missing a lot in the U.S., is being able to walk into a space that really does transform the user.
Mariam Eskandari talking with Charles Monroe Kane. Mariam's an architect and the founder of Meme Designs.